Time now for sports on 104.7 The Cave. Here's Ned Reynolds.
Mike, the intern, Ned Reynolds, in the studio this morning. So, Mr. Weatherman, Ned Reynolds.
Don't confuse me with that.
Don't ever say those words together. Sorry, that's my fault. I apologize. I will put my dollar in the swear drawer. Now I think we're safe to start talking about the weather. You know, freezing rain, sleet, winter weather advisory. It's going to be kind of a sticky situation for the guys and gals going up north in the next couple days, today or tomorrow, rather. But how long can they keep that field covered at Arrowhead, like right up until kickoff?
No, because the teams are allowed to go on the field at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They have things very regimented there as far as these pro football games are concerned. Everybody is allowed specific amounts of time. Well, if the teams take the field at 2, I think they'll probably keep the field covered until about 1. I'm assuming, and this is simply an assumption, that they do have some snow up there. Well, it'll take an hour, hour and a half to get that tarpaulin off the field, engineered to such a way where the snow doesn't spill on the field, so we get it off into the drain area and so forth. So they have that down to a science. They should be able to get that done within an hour. So I suspect up until 1 o'clock they'll have that field covered. It should be... And I'm assuming this. I'm not the weatherman. I don't even pretend to be. Don't want to be. And I'm assuming, though, that it will be fairly dry for the game.
I hope so. It'll be dry for the tailgate, too. We'll see. Oh, yeah. So what are the keys, in your opinion, to this win against the Colts on Saturday?
Don't think there's any question about the fact that Kansas City's going to have to score because Indianapolis is going to score. The Indianapolis Colts are on it. Well, they've won 10 of their last 11 games. They've been on a tremendous streak, and that's not by fluke. Now, they haven't played all the toughest teams, but they've beaten the Baltimore Ravens and teams of that caliber. They've done it with running. Marlon Mack ran for 148 yards last week against the Houston Texans, and the Texans' defense is much better than Kansas City's. 148 yards. Obviously, that is going to be their primary attack. Indianapolis will run the ball. When the Chiefs set their attack for the run, then Andrew Luck, who is no slouch, will go back there and throw. That's why I think Indianapolis will score. And then you take a look at the numbers, and Kansas City gives up an awful lot of points in red zone area. But the Chiefs also score a lot of points. And I think depending on how Patrick Mahomes gets his receivers free, and if they're able to get whomever it is doing the running tomorrow, and I'm going to assume it's the regular running back who's in there, but by the same token, it's going to be a tough game. But Kansas City's going to have to outscore Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I keep saying that I'm waiting for Williams to have a breakout game. I think Ware is going to be back. Hopefully,
I think Ware is scheduled to be back. But you're absolutely right. Damian Williams is the individual on whom the onus is going to be.
Yeah, and if they can break that wide open, watch out, because now you've got to worry about our run game and our pass game. So who knows? We'll see. I'm so damn nervous, I don't really want to talk about it, but we got to, because that's what we got to do. So, last night, Panthers played. How'd they do?
Split their games. The Lady Panthers are pretty good. They're undefeated, 14-0. They just toyed with the Indianapolis team, beat them by 30, 76-46, I think the final score was. But the Lady Panthers, Molly Miller, has her team playing very much like a Cheryl Burnett defense used to be, or a Stephanie Phillips defense, a Kickapoo used to be. Boy, they get after you. And when they call on a trap, you better be ready because you're going to throw the ball away. And that's what Indianapolis did. And the Lady Panthers are a very good basketball team.
They are.
So they win. The Panthers lose again. They have played in their last, I think I have this right now, in their last five games, they lost by a total of 5 points.
Oh, it's a heartbreaker.
This is all. They lost by one.
Oh, it's a heartbreaker.
Here they have a good game. Indianapolis is a good team. Indianapolis is leading, and the Drury Panthers come down, hit a three-pointer with 9 seconds to go to take a one-point lead. Whoa, that's heavy. Down comes Indianapolis, drew a foul. Kid hits foul shots with 3 seconds remaining in the game. Drury couldn't respond. 71-70, Indianapolis wins. That's a tough way to lose. And Drury's under 500 in the Great Lakes Valley Conference. I do think things will change. They're not that bad, but... going to have to get with it.
You've been talking about the Chiefs all week. Got your keys. What do they got to do to win tomorrow? Step up D, right?
They absolutely do.
That's the big deal.
There is no question about it. Their defense really has to stack for the run, and the Chiefs have been very vulnerable to a strong running attack. Well, Indianapolis has one. Marlon Mack, their second-year running back. This Now, this is conspiracy on my part here. Not conspiracy, but plot on my part. Marlon Mack was an outstanding star at South Florida. All right, this is his second year in the NFL. They play their games inside. I don't think this guy's accustomed to cold weather or inclement conditions like this.
Yeah, that could be a nightmare for a back. You can't do what you got to do. No jukes, no slides, no none of that stuff.
He ran for 148 yards against the Houston Texans, but that was in dry and optimal conditions. I don't think it will be tomorrow up in Kansas City. But anyway, Mack ran for 148 yards. He is really their primary weapon on the ground. But then again, you have Andrew Luck back in the quarterback. Indianapolis will score. No question about that. Kansas City will score. I think it's going to be up to the Chiefs to score more. The Kansas City Ball Club is number one in the NFL in scoring from the red zone. They're also the poorest stopping team in scoring in the red zone. It could very well be, if the conditions are good, a high-scoring game up there, but I do think the Chiefs win.
And I'm sure you guys are going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow, Ned Talk at 1, and I'll be calling in live from Arrowhead.
Yes, you will do a live report from the parking lot. Now, the over-under on
how
Mike the intern
Mike
being.
Be. Yeah, what's in our latest edition of Get to Know Your Bookie, what's the over-under on how drunk Mike's going to be when he calls in?
Well, about 1:30. Stop right here now. It'll be about 1:30, 1:45. We're about 2 hours from game time. Take the over.
He's taking the over. Smart man. You know me well. It didn't take you too long to figure that out. Oh, by the way, happy arbitration day.
This is great.
Where'd you get me?
This is arbitration. Nah, that's very good, too, Mike. Very good. What is arbitration day? Well, in Major League Baseball, for players who have been in Major League Baseball for 3 years, but that's it, just over 3 years, and not eligible yet for free agency, you're allowed to go to arbitration if you haven't reached an agreement with your team. Now, the Cardinals have 3, the Royals have 6. Arbitration today, arbitration deadline, is at noon today. So if a team hasn't come to an agreement with their player, they go to arbitration. What is it? Well, the player lists all his accomplishments and his demand, of course, done through his agent, his demand for a salary. The club lists all theirs, and they take whatever their offer is, and they send it to an impartial arbitrator who studies it all and doesn't take an interim, it doesn't take a median, he takes one or the other. So sometimes you have a player getting a whole lot, and sometimes the team wins. It's really a kind of a flawed circumstance, but it's been around now for a number of years. Anyway, today is arbitration day. Noontime is when the players have to submit their requests. So we'll see what happens. The decisions aren't forthcoming right away. It takes about a month or so to do them, but they are binding, and that player will have to compete, if he wants to play, of course, for whatever the arbitrator decides.
How, that sounds almost like a family court situation, the way they do it in family court
almost.
Well,
I think that's probably...
I mean, that's like... It's almost as if that's how that works.
It's very similar.
Yeah, very similar. That's mm-hmm. that's crazy. But good luck to some of those guys going on that list today. Hopefully they get what they want. So we got some Valley play for both Missouri State teams this weekend. Who are they facing?
The Lady Bears will play at home on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock against a pretty good Southern Illinois team. The Bears, who are fresh from their first road victory of the year, will go on the road again tomorrow night up in Peoria, Illinois. Question will be, can they slog through the snow to get up there? Because I think they'll probably have quite a bit of it.
They're going to have a drive.
So, they'll fly, but to get to the arena, and the Carver Center up there is a very nice arena, but be that as it may, the Bears are taking on Bradley on the road. That's another big test. Bradley's much improved over what they were, but there's something of an anomaly, too, because a couple of years ago they had a very young team, all freshmen and sophomores, and they were pretty good. We predicted that, wow, when these guys are seniors, they're going to be world beaters. They're 0-3.
Yeah.
0-3 in the conference. You never know what might happen. But Bradley will be tough. Bears play them tomorrow evening, and the Lady Bears at home on Sunday. So, yeah, these are big Valley tests.
Big weekend of sports. Probably get you out of here so you can go get ready, sir.
One little item, pregame show right here on the Cave. Yep. 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Scott Perrier, Joe Weston, and yours truly.
Get it. Go Chiefs.